Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's running commentary, the sun is shining, we're out
really
and about.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We're in the middle of town.
Old London town, we're in Hyde Park.
Yes.
As you probably heard last week, I said, I run in Hyde Park, it's lovely. You want to go down? And Paul said yes, and we just did it.
Why not? We just did it.
We didn't wait.
And
we made it happen.
We're going around the periphery. This is... horses.
Yeah, yeah.
Horses come here.
Yeah, but there's so
nice
few
and
horses.
Soft. Yeah.
It's funny, you see loads of people, obviously, quite rightly, it's all sort of like laid out for cyclists and runners and stuff. But there's also the horses track, which is nice, yeah. Soft surfaces.
Yeah, really nice,
and
yeah.
And there aren't that many horses.
No.
So, you know.
No, it's lovely.
I've said, let's take it this way. We just came from Speaker's Corner, and while we just met there and I was there first, I was just reading the tourist signs. And they spend as much time talking about the hecklers as the speakers.
Yeah.
Just a comedian, I found.
I haven't been, I've never been at Speaker's Corner. I've heard it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Have you ever been down there in sort of real time?
I've kind of witnessed it. I've never been to see it. I've kind of come past. But I've seen it and thought, oh.
Yeah.
So that's real. And it is, it's odd, because obviously there's a lot of crossover with, I don't know, stand-up, street theatre,
right,
the House of Commons, whatever you want to compare with it. But in another way, it's a thing all its own.
And is it,
it's like having a controlled oratorial madness as a hobby.
And is it literally anyone?
Yeah, that's the...
Right, okay.
You know, it's a small-s socialist doctrine. You get up and say what you like.
Nice. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The only person I ever knew who did it was a comedy promoter who should remain nameless.
Yes.
Who was provably a bit of an odd bod
in other
ways.
Yeah.
So that's kind of telling. I am not saying anyone and everyone who ever came to Speaker's Corner was, you know, there's just something peripheral about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of... It's quite wonderfully eccentric, isn't it?
Particularly now the internet exists.
Yeah. Totally. I think I am gonna have to veer to
let's peel to the middle. Let's go make sure we go the right way. We'll come, let's do it and then
we'll
back
hit the
to
outside
here.
Later, yeah, perfect.
You don't want to miss it. There's some, I've seen this a couple of times today. There's a couple of ducks over there. They're nowhere near any water. It's like, I'm sure there's a lake around there somewhere. They said there was a lake.
You take the tube into the middle of town. Look for the lake as advertised. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So
nothing at all.
That's funny, we're heading to find this loop because I just remembered that the block we're heading for now is the one we got to on one of the earliest.
So is it that one?
It must be there. There.
You think so?
That's the water fountain. Right. Jim, we're going and drinking water there, and it was on our 20-mile run in the first few
I was thinking about this. Yeah.
You're like, and we were going to need to hydrate.
I was really
There's
thirsty.
There's a shop down here.
Yeah.
I can't make it. Some episodes were better lost. So how's your running? How are you feeling? How's your leg?
My running's been fine. I've been doing exercises every day.
Yeah.
I've been doing literally little 15, 20 minute runs.
Good.
Every other day. And I have started yoga.
Yeah,
I started doing yoga. Yeah, which is
that's brilliant.
A sentence I never thought I'd utter.
So what? Because the other day, again, it's a bit like us being here. We seem to be embracing things as they come up, as lockdown loosens and your injury retreats. And we talked about yoga, and then the next day you were like, "Where shall I start?" So what happened? How did it go?
Well, I started doing. I just started doing beginners yoga with our mate Adrienne.
Yeah.
Adrienne!
She is good though, isn't she?
Oh, she's great. She's great. She's just really natural and obviously knows what she's doing. It's quite hard to straddle a chasm between beginner and expert, isn't it, in
yes.
yoga? Do you know what I mean? Because you can either... It's quite tricky.
Yeah.
Obviously, the whole thing.
But I think...
She's great.
I think she's excellent. And I think also... Like all these sort of yin yangy things. There's a third one, you know, there's like you've got the beginners and you've got the absolute yoga geniuses.
Yes.
And you've also got this third idea, which is that she's just trying to lead us to whatever we want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You find your own way with it. So.
And I think that she was saying on the one I was doing yesterday that, you know, that something she learned from doing it online.
Yeah.
Is that it's how many different people are in how many different places, you know?
Yes,
She's looking back to her teaching to classes, she's thinking, I don't think I was catching everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's...
It says it's 20p. Have you got 20p?
No, I haven't. No, I've got I've got my card though. We'll see what we can do.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see these crows over here?
Yeah.
Well, wow. While you're in the... toilet, yeah. There was like a squawking in a tree, and you think, oh, there goes the birds, so this will be fun, something interesting happening.
Yeah,
they chased a parakeet out, loads of crows, little green parakeet. But you chuckle, but
hey, look, here comes a dog, look. Whee!
I can catch the crows. Well, I believe that they caught and ate the parakeet.
Really? Oh my goodness.
It was really scary. We watched the birds the other day, and that was blooming like it.
This is quite funny, though. The optimism of dogs chasing birds just never ceases to amaze
them. Birds have one little advantage.
Crucial.
It's weird the way there's loads of black dogs as well.
Yeah, it's a slightly macabre scene we're witnessing here, isn't it?
It is. And as I say, watch the birds at the kids the other day. It's still pretty strong. And what if these dogs and birds suddenly decide to work together?
Yeah, yeah, and chase us.
Should we go and pick up where we were? Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
yeah. So they basically they've slaughtered. You've witnessed.
Yeah, the dogs have found the bird.
They've slaughtered
now.
The parakeet.
This is awful.
Couldn't the parakeet fly off? I mean, wasn't there the
crows caught it. They're bigger. They were
right.
And kind of pecked it out of the air. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit traumatized.
Oh, that's
awful. Tough.
That's really tough.
Nature, red in tooth and claw.
Absolutely, yeah.
You remember the birds? You remember the bit where they're all where they attack the kids at the
yes.
school?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Scary, scary.
Scary stuff. So,
the yoga.
You did your beginner's yoga.
Yeah, so I'm total... So, like, I couldn't start the 30 days thing. It's just a total 25-minute beginner thing that I've done, like, four times.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Which is just really, really basic. Because I'm so sort of... structurally slightly broken by years and years of running in one way that's worked undoubtedly. I mean, I've really enjoyed it. I can do it, but I have to find
You can express it positively, can't you? You've specialised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of yoga, it's like when she says initially just sit down cross-legged and let's get into the pose. I can't do that.
No, I can't do that.
I can't do that. It's
don't
like dropping a bag of spanners on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. She always says, we'll start today, if it's a sitting down one. She says, we'll start today in a nice, comfortable seat. And then she sits on the ground and crosses her legs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks, can't do it. I'm out.
Yeah, if we can put our head over our heart and our heart over our pelvis.
Yeah.
I could do that, I'd be some kind of magician.
But I do, because I've got such
good to try,
these roly-roly shoulders. You know, it's really, you know, there's things you come up against. Like, if you lie on your back with your kind of feet on the floor, you know, like back on your back but with your knees up.
Yeah.
Having the knees up.
Yeah.
Then Should do things like, you know, do a little bridge, lift your hips up by putting your knees up. I'm just saying, head on the floor.
Which is really good for glutes, actually.
Yeah, it's all good. It's great for the front. It's gentle on your, really gentle, good stretches for the front of your legs and your glutes.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I do that, there's like a 6-inch extra roll created by the distance between my shoulder blades and the back of my neck.
Right.
Adrienne doesn't know about that.
No.
She doesn't know about how specific ridiculousnesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so you got, as you said, you got to find your own way with it.
And, yeah,
and just do what you can. Like sometimes, I just find myself totally defeated just looking at Adrienne.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I kind of get back into it. But it's and it's literally the level I'm at. It's like 3 or 4 moves over 25 minutes.
I think that's so fair enough.
But it feels. I mean, like the first time I did it, just locking my hands and putting them in the air, I found quite tough on my arms.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
For some reason, it's weird. But I'm feeling stronger quite quickly, actually.
But it's really great for being progressive. Oh, I do believe that, you know, it works and you do get better, but it's very gentle and slow.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, I think that you only get to where your own body is due to be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it feels like. I just struck me now. It feels like when people have just started running and they're on the path to 5K.
Yeah.
It feels like you can participate in the trajectory of progress in something else.
Yes.
Which is nice. I'm looking forward to it. But the main takeaway is I do feel I'm going to continue to do it.
Yeah, good.
That's the main thing. I already feel a little bit different. Slightly stronger and more open the way I'm standing and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's interesting. So that's... I mean, that's good, man.
Me and Julia, with her working, we only get to it. We could do it like 4 times a week if we did it on the weekends.
Yeah.
But we've got, can you keep up with 3 times a week?
Yeah.
You know, and because we do tend to go through the 30 days to give us a kind of path, I always feel a bit guilty that we're not doing it in a month.
Yeah, yeah.
But, A, you want to factor it into your life in an ongoing sense.
Yeah.
And B, I do miss it when we don't do it.
Yeah.
And C, when I do it, my wife's not there, I get embarrassed.
Right, okay.
Feels like a proper yoga class when my wife's there. And also interesting because we both find different bits difficult.
Yes.
Whereas when it's just me and Adrienne, I just
you keep expecting.
Sorry, Adrienne. I really feel like I'm wasting your time here.
You keep expecting her to pop her head and say, "What are you doing, Rob? What exactly is that?
What are you, an idiot?" Yeah, yeah.
But no, she's great. She's really good fun.
Yeah, and going right back to what I said when I first did it, I do think her balance of the silly, the effortless balance of the silly and the serious.
Yes,
something quite self-deprecating, massively appeals. Yeah, and she'll just go from saying what she really means to saying something stupid.
Yes,
And they both have the same weight.
Yeah. No, she's great. And it's a shame people can't see me attempting to do the downward dog just for slapstick value.
Do you try it out for a photo?
Yeah.
Of course, if you did it now, you might get a horse poo on your hands. Let's keep left and stay by the fence. It's funny, the only problem with this bit is we're coming down Park Lane, so it's actually quite a
lot of traffic
roadie, but the path is really nice and there's no one on it.
Coming to the end of it. And how's your running been going? We're going to be chatting a little bit about Michelle today.
Yes.
Michelle's continuing adventures, which have been amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
We've been logging in every day. She's had an incredible experience. She shared it with us. People have really responded within the community.
Yes, and of course, if you have been following it online and everything, then you know it's all come to an end and just the most amazing thing. But Michelle sent us her diary, her kind of recorded journal, and we've got it for you. And this is a whole of part two. And of course, second half of 10 in 10. We're going to dig a little bit deeper, but let's go straight to Michelle. Let's have a little bit of day 5. Over to you, Michelle.
So it's day 5 and it's 10 to 9, and so it's 40 minutes till we start, and what a difference a day makes. It's a beautiful morning here in the Lake District. It was petered out rain earlier, but stopped now, and I'm just standing looking over Windermere, really looking forward to another loop around this beautiful lake. I've been noticing the bluebells every day, so I'm going to try to take a few photos of that today. Although my legs are feeling really good, and I kind of half feel that another fast one might be coming on. Might be having to hold back that Ferrari after all. Off we go.
Well, I'm at mile 9, now on day 5, and it's a
been a bit of a mixed run, really. It started quite well. It's very painful. It's still really hurting quite a lot. And I think it's messing my head a bit. I got really excited going past Hawkshead School this morning. The children were all out really cheering. And they're doing virtual high fives again. And I just love that. And missing the children that I teach at my school. So I'm thinking of them. And so, yeah, I loved it. But I probably ran a bit too fast for the next couple of miles. And then paid. So I just caught myself going running down this last hill, having quite a strong word with myself. And sorts of things like, come on, just crack on. It's only a toenail. You've got some people got more toenails, it's fine. Just stop listening to it and get over yourself. Not really kind words, maybe, but sometimes you need to be tough with yourself. Anyway, I feel it's better now, so that's good. And I can run another few miles now.
And that was that. Beyond that recording, I lost it for a bit and I had quite a struggle. Recording this much, much later in bed. I've got through the worst of it now. And my head is set ready for day six tomorrow. But it's not been easy to get to this point. And it's really weird because on one hand it's like it's so lovely. It was amazing today. There I saw donkeys and all sorts of things I hadn't spotted before. And yet, every step from pretty much from after that recording at mile nine, it was just excruciating. I've got a black toe, which I'm not sure what I'm going to do about that for tomorrow. So I need to go and make a plan, really. Tomorrow could be interesting. But only five more to go now. So we've done 131 miles. And I'm going to introduce the idea of more marathons to my legs one day at a time. So shush, don't tell them. Night, night.
After last week's stuff, you can hear Michelle, they're going out pretty positive with the kind of sunshine.
Yes.
But I think it's a negotiation, isn't it, between really seeing the magnitude of the task and cracking on with it, still being positive, still kind of wanting to run fast.
Yes.
Amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a form of madness, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah, yeah. I do think that it's been an influence on me running all the time. I was saying last week that I had a really incredible week of kind of hippie-ish running all over the place in the
really nice
summer green.
Yeah.
And this way. And and I kind of carried that on last week.
Right.
Even though when we went out, I think it might have been last Monday, we went out, early last week anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right, it was last Tuesday because I went on a long run and saw Natalie Haynes on the Monday.
Right, oh, nice.
And I was just feeling tired and quite heavy-legged from all the week before running. Anyway, in the end, last week I upped my mileage by 10%.
Nice.
Taking me to about a sort of 38-mile week.
Classic. That's the way to do it.
But also because I wanted to get a bit of a break, I actually did that in 5 days rather than seven.
Right, okay.
So that was a Monday to Friday.
So you took the weekend
and
off.
And then took the full 2 days off at the weekend.
Nice.
Felt good. I finished the week going up and down the park and walked from my house. So that's 7 miles.
Right.
And I did a proper
surge at the end, did you?
Negative split, yeah.
Right.
So I wasn't going super slow on the way up, but I sat back and took my time.
Yeah.
And then I ran the trip back. It was kind of instead. I had to do it fast so that I could justify not going out for a
really
faux park run.
Put the hammer down, yeah.
And yeah, it felt great. I mean, it's cheap really because it starts downhill. But I do think
it's only slightly downhill.
If and when I get to whatever kind of 5K park run or whatever it might be,
yeah,
I'm hoping just finding some sense of pace in the later stages.
You're going to be storming it, mate. You're going to be at the front. You're going to be one of those front guys. When they do the turn and come back, you're going to be one of those bouncing guys at the front.
With the kids.
Yeah.
The teenagers who go... They're sort of on their phone,
well,
checking
I was,
their messages and running in 16
I was,
minutes.
Well, now I was chatting to... I did a the Runner's World podcast the other day because I wanted to chat to me about some column I'd written, and I was reminded of the guy who did like a 19... Should we go that way?
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, of course.
Oh, good, this one. The guy did like a 19, 25K part run, pushing a baby and on the phone.
Yes,
that's how irritating
right.
he was. Really, amazing. Just on the right side of posh, not posh posh, but kind of
yeah.
cheerfully well spoken.
He's got
and just
this
bouncing
is
away.
Masters Park, aren't we?
Yeah, Hackney Marsh.
Long dark hair.
Hackney
what
Marsh.
An amazing runner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just hard not to resent it. You know, my experience with that was
just angry behind
the kid in the pushchair was dressed as a knight with a sword.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I obviously overtook it at the beginning, thinking, well, I'm running past him, go with the pushchair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then suddenly find a couple of minutes later this sword
right.
moving yeah, into view. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, damn it!
Yeah.
So fast.
Let's hope all that can come back at some stage. Well, it sounds like you're in a great stage.
I'm really enjoying
you're
it. I'm starting to feel a little bit...
A great period of training.
Achy, stretchy, but I'm working towards a bit of a break. You know, I don't
right.
want to break myself on the wheel a bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought I'm going to try and just do a rough kind of training loop, i.e. try and get up to a high mileage week.
Right.
Maybe get to 50.
Yeah.
Which means another week or two of increments, you know.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
And then after that, I'll drop my bit of paper. I'll take some time and just basically do these, getting the mileage back up.
Yeah.
It's pre-marathon training, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I think when it does come time to actually running a marathon, I will attempt a higher mileage training schedule.
Right. Yeah, well, that's...
So the 26.2 isn't such a shock to the system.
I think you're playing it well.
Yeah. I think that, you
incremental
know...
Incremental rises every week.
Yeah,
nice.
And trying all kinds of things and kind of pushing at it, but I think in the quiet, like the still waters part of that is I run further and slightly less fast than I used to.
Right.
And I'm kind of curating that, you know?
Yeah. I was chatting to these people on the podcast who were saying, oh, Vassos wears his shorts constantly underneath his trousers.
Yeah.
Just slightly skunky, isn't it? But just in case he fancies a run.
Yeah, right.
So he just runs home or whatever. He's one of those guys.
It's good to be able to just jump.
Just jump in and start running.
I noticed that these running clothes I'm wearing now, I have to say, I kind of been wearing them all week.
Yeah.
You know, I replace key details.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not the same pants.
Yeah.
But still, I think that... And I do, you know, I'm someone now who will run.
Robin is fresh pants!
You got fresh pants?
Fresh pants!
Especially for the podcast!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, listen, this bit just here. It was Sophie Rayworth's birthday the other day, wasn't it? That's right. And just the day before it happened, I was thinking of her, because just on this very spot,
yeah.
we've got this green space on our right and the road on our left. Green space is where they have the food festival at the start of the Royal Park's half.
All right, okay.
And on the left, the road here is the start line.
Nice.
And when I ran here for the first time the other day, I just remembered that I was at the, you know, in the tent before the start with
yes.
the celebrity places.
The celebrity enclosure.
And I was chatting to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
But Sophie Rayworth was there. And then we went down to the start line. I was like, I've got to go to my... funnel. I don't know where I'm starting.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh no, don't worry about that. And it wasn't just me, there was like kind of four of us, you know.
Right.
And she just walked down like to the start line.
Right.
And then just went up to the fence and they just opened it and we all walked
nice,
through. It was like,
nice.
It was like Goodfellas.
That's national news.
Yeah.
That's what the news gets.
That's the news.
That's Anchorman. Living
Anchor
the dream.
Woman.
Anchor woman.
That's right.
Anchor running woman, living the dream.
So happy birthday, Sophie.
Yeah,
thanks
happy
again.
Birthday.
Honestly, I went out and ran my PB, so I think
nice.
That start line really helped.
It can help, certainly, yeah. So that's good. Going for the... I'm at the stage where I've got a... there's a 5K in mid-July.
Yeah.
That I've got half an eye on. I just need to take it very gradually.
Yeah.
When I was listening to you then talking about increasing mileage by 10% a week, which is exactly what you should do.
Yes.
It just emphasised to me how I'm not like that.
Well, Eleanor was saying that when she was on it when you were off. She was just saying, well, it's all very well if you've got a reasonably high mileage and you want to increase it carefully.
Yeah.
That 10%'s a really good idea. But when you're coming up from nothing...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, give me some miles. This is going to take forever.
Yeah.
It needs a slightly more sophisticated graph, doesn't it, really?
But especially when you're used to doing higher mileage.
Yes.
So I'm saying is it's well within my realms to go, you know, 10, 12 mile a week.
Yeah.
25, and then go 50 because I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And then get injured.
That's very dangerous.
So it's just like
this guy's doing a painting.
Yeah, that's beautiful, isn't it?
That's nice, isn't it? He has painted some horses that aren't there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I got close enough to witness the conversation about the art. Rob Poynton.
Yes.
He's a regimental artist.
Oh,
and he shows at Panterel Hall. Yes, it's for the army, for the horse people.
Yes.
The horse at the army horse people.
Oh, yeah. Is that their official name?
The horse of the ears. And it's a blooming... I tell you what, he can paint that lad.
Yeah, lovely.
I said to him, you want to take it serious, mate?
Yeah.
You should go for it. No, I love stuff like
that. I've seen it licking that for the living room.
Yeah.
So,
I said to him, but you get paid for that. I did. I said, are you on a commission? He said, yes.
So you're trying to be strict with yourself in terms of not increasing too much?
I'm trying to resist the pig-headed notions that mean that I've been caught in this cycle of just, like, injured... Get a little bit fit, get fitter, think, wow, I'm coming back again, get injured, a little bit fit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just that kind of cycle.
Yeah.
And just try and work out.
Basically, just, not, you've got to get beyond
I've got
10% fit.
Well, no, I've got a, it feels a little bit like society. I'm striving for the old normal.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm gonna get.
You've got to develop a whole new scene.
I've just got to get a slightly new way of doing things.
Well, that's a good way of thinking about it, because when it comes down to it, although I'm going, oh, I'm loving it, I've done lots of miles, it's the same rhythm. It's definitely an into the future running pattern, not a get back to where we were running.
But you're on a slightly different trajectory than me, because you are a bit younger, aren't you?
I don't think
physically.
That's certainly not the way I perceive it.
No, but but you are, though.
Yeah, but I think that when we first ran together, our age difference was fairly significant, but as a fraction of our overall ages. We're both blooming 50 when it comes down to it, aren't we? I mean, yeah, you're 50 in a bit, and I'm not quite there, but...
Right.
6 of 1.
Yeah. I just noticed... Around 50, 51, that things started to get a bit different.
Oh, damn.
A bit harder. And look, as if. Look, Look, there's yogi happening.
Oh, excellent.
Yoga, you know.
We've just crossed the road. I didn't know this when I was here the other day, but we've actually come out of Hyde Park and come into Kensington Gardens.
Right. Nice.
Same park.
Same park.
There's a road going across the middle.
And we have to give a shout out to, well, unfortunately, there's been some tragedy in the running world, some natural and some other. First,
yeah.
Let's do Ron Hill first.
He
died.
Absolutely, R.I.P. Ron Hill, such a legend.
Over the weekend, and he was someone that I was really. He was just a real sort of mentor figure from a distance when I was a kid.
Yes.
Just a classic Harrier runner. Ran for England, probably the fastest marathon runner in the world, about 1969, 1970.
Yes. Only the second man anywhere in the world to run a marathon under 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah, he was amazing. Pre-vaporflies, pre-electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah. But that was what I was going to say, is that that is true. But also, that's what's great about him. And it's a little bit, reminds me somewhat of you in terms of his attitude. Because he was definitely a brilliant natural runner.
He was, yeah.
But he was not afraid to look at the... what it all meant.
Yeah,
he worked
in
textiles and developed.
Yeah, he was a real
running
innovator.
Materials, and also he was trying out different diets and things. Like he did.
Yeah, totally.
He was one of the first people to try carb loading.
Yeah, and
after
really
saying the one before that was one that people were into before that, glycosamine.
Yeah,
he did that, and
really
he was looking good for the Olympics. And he came sixth, and he said it was because of his fueling. He'd got his fueling wrong, but just his attitude to fueling and clothes.
He was very experimental.
Was so modern.
Yeah, really, really experimental. And I think Munich. He's getting a bit nerdy, but I think Munich just came a couple of years too late for him.
Yeah, right.
He was just 1970. He was just perfect. He sort of overtrained a bit.
Yeah,
but and he famous. Just what past the. Famously ran twice a day and once on Sunday for about 20 odd years.
No, this is it. This came up recently when Martin Hutchinson did his RED, run every day 100 days.
Right.
So it's amazing, it's incredible, and it is. But Ron Hill, someone said, what about Ron Hill? He ran every day, more than a mile a day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
For 52 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
52
yeah.
years, nearly 53 years, I think.
Wow.
That's longer than some people are alive.
I know, but also incredibly unreconstructed in his relationship to pain. In that
right.
He ran on a broken leg.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? He's one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I mean, you could possibly say he got possibly too into the streak idea.
It's possible.
What, running on a broken leg and
everything. He ran with a cracked sternum as well, didn't he? He had like a chest injury.
He constantly broke things and kept running.
Yeah.
But he just loved running, and obviously he meant a lot to so many people. Yeah. So he's
he was absolutely great.
Sorely missed.
And there's no replacing him. He's a legend to running. So here's to him.
I would heartily...
115 marathons he did.
I would heartily recommend his biographies, Long Hard Road, Part 1 and 2. Very expensive nowadays on eBay or whatever, but they're really amazing books. Incredible.
Talking to people who break things and carry on running, we should maybe get back to Michelle and find out how things went on back on day 6. So it's day 6, that's like the middle of last week.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's a long time ago now, but it wasn't then, if you see what I mean. Here's Michelle.
Well, it's early on day 6, and I'm just... I've just been down, stood by the lake, looking out. It's another beautiful day. Absolutely glorious conditions here. I suspect it might get a bit hot for me later, but right now it's lovely. And, excited for day 6. You might hear the hesitation there. I am excited for day 6. Another day around the lake, another day of opportunities to see what this body can do. So we're just going to go get a few bits and pieces patched up, and I might even have a couple of paracetamol before I set off today. I think that's probably going to be a good plan. So more later. Well, it's I'm at mile 7 now, and going up the hill that's known as Devil's Gallop. It's very steep. Run's been okay so far. A bit mixed, really.
just really, really painful. Left leg. The front of the leg's hurting now. The Achilles is mending. But I decided yesterday I needed a serious plan for today, because otherwise I just wasn't going to come out at all. So my plan for today is Dr. Katie has strapped my blackened toenail down, so it won't hopefully come off, and it's already loads more comfortable. So my right leg I can ignore. I'd be quite happy if someone wanted to just chop my left leg off just now, but I'm hoping that improves as we go along. And my other part of my plan was that I just needed some inspiration and some company. And of course, I always turn to run compod for that. So today, I've got all four of the London Marathon 2019 episodes lined up. I've listened to the first one already. Cracked up, laughing. Forgetting to put condoms on your microphones and so on. I'm feeling pretty chipper, actually. Given the level of pain I'm in is enough, I could quite happily have seen a stick somewhere. It's all part of day six in the life of a 10 in 10. Lots of the others are facing their own issues today as well. So we just keep moving forward, one tree at a time. Oh, we're just coming up on mile 18, and I've literally been running with running commentary podcast in the background for the entire time at the London Marathon 2019 episode. Big lorry. And it's really done a trick. You know, it's taken my mind off the fact that I think I really would quite like to drop this left leg off. Although it's still hurting a lot, I haven't cried about it yet. I might have said a few words that aren't really appropriate for Vickers to use, but hey, never mind. I just feel really supported by the whole running commentary community. Before I set off this morning, I was mentioned in a tweet by one of the listeners saying how I was inspiring them. It just means such a lot that anybody's really interested. So thank you for that. I've carried that with me around the lake today. So thank you.
I'm slightly... Have we got the days right? Michelle? Because I remember talking about her being at halfway last week.
Yeah, but she hadn't. She was just about to get...
Okay, cool.
I've got a little bit of paper here.
Cool.
So that's day six. And you can... it's nice because we were very much featured in that one. That's
all right.
When Michelle took our marathon out with her.
Right,
but
okay.
Not just us. She's really been appreciating all the messages from the running commentary community. And that was before her last week contribution went out. So
yes.
It's just really nice to be able to help, to be able to be a kind of part of that, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Amazing out there. But obviously also getting pretty hard.
Yeah, she's... The conclusion remains that she's pretty tough, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
She might not look, obviously... hard,
yeah,
but she's obviously is.
That's right.
The consistency of every day's effort,
yeah,
is incredible.
And I think that's incredible too. It's just amazing. I mean, any one of us should really take the lesson from Michelle how available imposter syndrome is to runners,
right?
You know,
yeah.
I often remember our friend Emily, who you know. She's run a couple of ultras.
Yeah.
And she was the... I don't know if she said it in one sentence. I'm sure she said something like, I'm not really a runner. I did 100K.
Yeah.
That way of thinking comes
funny,
very naturally.
It's
and
bizarre,
if you're ever in doubt, yeah, look at Michelle, because she's someone's like, well, you know, I'm not that strong.
Yeah.
You know, 10 in 10, marathon, run through the pain.
Yes.
All this incredible stuff.
Yeah,
well, let's go on with this. Get back to her on day seven. And now she's having a tough time, but she liked day seven because of the weather. Anyway, we'll go over to Michelle. Michelle on day seven.
So it's day seven, and it's 5:15 in the morning, and it's a Thursday, so that can only mean one thing, that I'll be
looking out around 12 o'clock for the latest Runcom Pod episode to drop. I have to say I'm quite excited about that today because I know I've been making these recordings for Rob and Paul and interested to see what they're going to do with them. So that'll be something to look forward to as I start heading back up the other side of the lake. I'm usually there around 12, 12.30 down at Newby Bridge. So today I thought I'd tell you a bit about the life of a 10 in 10er. For me, it seems to start at this time every day. I wake up about 1:30, actually, and then pretty much can't really go back to sleep. So I lie in my bed in the dark and just try and rest. Apparently that's quite common for 10 in 10ers, that they don't actually sleep a great deal. We think it's something to do with your body trying to repair itself, and you just end up night in your legs and your whole system's kind of tingling and humming and buzzing. One of our most experienced athletes, who really is an athlete, not like me, Malk, he thinks it's to do with the blood rushing around to the bits that need mending. So my body clearly needs lots of sorting out after each run. 1:30 a.m. is my wake-up time, and 5 o'clock is my get-up time. And I get up and make a cup of coffee, and I get back in my bed. And I've been posting a Facebook post in the morning about why I'm running each day. And that was part of my fundraising, was asked people if I could run a marathon for them. So lots of people asked me to do run a marathon for various different reasons. And actually, it's really kept me going. Sometimes you'd say, oh, it's quite hard to run for myself today. But, you know, if I'm running in memory of someone else, then that will make me get around the lake. So that's been lovely and a massive privilege. So I'm excited for today, running for a 10 in 10 club member. So I'll tell you more later on. But this is my start to my day anyway. So it's 6:15 now, and I'm just heading down all these steps to the hall. There's about 30 fairly uneven stone steps that we come down each morning. When I first came on the first day, looked at where we were staying, and there is the option of going, there's a slope as well on the other side, but actually that's really steep and I ended up not choosing to use that at all, really. I thought they were crazy making us go down all these steps, but it is an important part of our recovery as it happens, and I'm quite proud that on most of the days I've managed to do it without crying, even though it's a little bit painful before you've gone to your first physio session. So I'm off down the steps, nearly at the bottom now, and then I go round to the front of the hall, have a look at the lake, check in, see what weather's coming up the lake, and then go off to physio where the lovely Melissa will have a look at my ankle and see what she can do for me today and get all my muscles moving and things, and then it will be off for breakfast. So that will take me up to about 8 o'clock. So it's busy. So it's now 7:45 and I'm on my way back across the front of the hall to get some breakfast. Had a good sports massage on my legs and tape on the front and back of the left leg today. That's at the moment. But after some porridge, it'll all be fine. So it's another little bit of a day in the life of a 10 in 10er. I'm a mile into the run now. I still have my breakfast. Been back to my room, got all my stuff together. Spent some time stretching. Then we have a team briefing. And try and set off as near to 9:30 as we can. We came out of the hall today and there were several low-flying aircraft. They're obviously having practice today. Something that's quite common around here. But I've not seen as many as that before. And they flew right over the hall. So it's really exciting. You can probably hear they're still circling around now. So got our own personal air show. The weather's due to come in pretty bad shortly, so I suppose it could be
and as predicted, the weather did come in
quite epically, really. Even for Lake District standards, it was pretty cool. The rain came down torrentially, and we continued to run. I absolutely loved it. I've trained in this. I've run 3,000 miles in training, and most of those have been in the type of weather that we had today. So I ran around the rest of the course with a massive grin on my face. But some of the rest of the team are not used to those conditions, or, you know, just day seven generally is a difficult day for a 10 in 10er anyway, usually. And so one or two people really found today very difficult and very challenging indeed. So we got back, quite a lot of us were really cold when we got back. So you come over the finish line and you have your recovery shake straight away. Once, as soon as you get over that finish line, it's all about a recovery. That marathon's gone, done, focus on the next day. So recovery shake, voom fudge, recovery fudge, straight into our special room in the hall where we grab our kit bag. You dip your dibber in, get your time for your marathon, and then off you go. Straight through. I'm normally changing the downstairs toilets in Brethay into dry clothes, put my woolly hat on. I get really cold when I've put in a massive effort, and I have to watch out for hypothermia even on a dry and warm day. So today, my physio Melissa and I were really speedy getting on with doing all the business, getting through. Dry clothes. Melissa goes and gets me some chicken nuggets. That's been my lunch that I get from the kitchen. And off we go to physio, onto the spin bikes again. 10 minutes on that, and then upstairs. And today it was under a duvet with my hot water bottle. And while she repairs the bits that I've managed to tweak or break. Actually, it was really relaxing today. And I just lay there enjoying the sports massage while the men in the room screamed about having elbows in various places where you wouldn't normally put an elbow. So and then once that's done, you get yourself back off to your bedroom. Well, that's what I do anyway. I don't know what everyone else does. That's when I tend to write my blog, do a blog, have a shower, prepare everything meticulously. I've been putting everything in the same place every day, so all the stuff I need for my marathon running. So I don't forget anything, get my bag packed again, do all the business of, you know, administration, making sure you're ready, prepare your bottles to go in the boxes along the route, so you've got a drink at the different places where we keep drinks, and then off down for tea, and then a glass of wine in the bar, and then back to bed to try to sleep, and off we go again. So, yeah, that's it. A day in the life of a 10 in 10er. It's quite epic. Loving it all.
She never seemed to sort out a sleep, did she?
No.
She never seemed to get that restful sleep that I was hoping that was going to happen around day six
or
seven.
I don't think it does happen. I don't think it does. But that was, at least she had a great relationship with the rain there.
Yeah.
On day seven, she... it, you know, hammered down,
yeah,
as it will in the lakes, and she trained in that,
right?
And she just like it was just like running at home, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Which is lucky.
It's amazing what the body can get used to, isn't it?
I stopped doing that. Sorry.
And it's amazing, and we should talk about it. What happened in China?
Oh yes. Well, of course. So awful. I mean, just
the ultra runners in China who.
So if you don't know about this, yeah. They were in Gusan province in China, which is, you know, a long way from Shanghai. And proper ultra-running event. I think they're running 100K, maybe.
I think so. To be honest, I don't know. I don't know.
There was 172 runners, so not that many, you know.
Yeah.
And they got caught. They're in the mountains.
Hostile conditions.
And the weather just completely came in. Freezing rain and hail. Yeah. And, I mean...
22 died.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's just awful, isn't it?
That's absolute madness.
It's a tragedy. It's a calamity.
Yeah,
I can't
really is,
get
yeah.
my head around it, you know, because yeah. I know that there was extreme weather and in the mountains and stuff, but we've all run in events, you know. We're running around...
Yeah, I mean, they'll find out afterwards, but it definitely shows how important it is to
carry all your gear, and we don't know to what extent that was
no.
a lack of kit. I mean, obviously, we just don't know, but it just shows how important all that stuff that's yeah. a bit of a ball ache to pack yeah. when you're doing an ultra.
Yeah, like, and when and
just, how important just in case of emergency,
exactly.
you know.
Exactly. It's dangerous stuff, isn't it?
It really is, those extreme events. There was a bit in the paper about this shepherd who found five runners and looked after them.
Yeah.
Because he had a cave. He's used to being out in the mountains.
Yeah.
You're out in the mountains, it's blistering hail.
Yeah.
You're freezing. And once you stop running, it doesn't take long to get really cold.
No. And if you've run out of fuel or whatever.
Yeah.
Here we are. Just give you the scene. We're just at the west end of Kensington Gardens, going between Kensington Palace on our left and the Round Pond on our right.
It really is nice.
It's gorgeous up, isn't it?
It's lovely to come into town, yeah.
A little bit high ground, so you just get that... it seems like a crass comparison. You've got that kind of Woodbury Reservoir.
Yes,
sense
yeah,
of water
yeah.
and sky. As yeah. you get to this lane... Not lane, but you know, what do they call it? They've cut a kind of swathe to give
I'm
a
sure
view.
I'm sure they do some 5Ks around here, actually, don't
oh,
they?
Oh, sure they do. There's yeah. the palace.
Lovely.
That's opened since the last time I was here, I think.
Beautiful. What's this place we're looking at? What's
Kensington
that?
Palace.
Right, okay.
So it's not the best looking palace.
Who stays there? Is that?
Oh, one of them lives there.
One of them?
Yeah.
Who's here? Should go and ask. Who's here?
Who is
Who
it?
Who you got?
Which Who is one? It this week?
Which one is it? Hyde Park.
So, yeah, really, nice really... obviously, it's very sad about Ron Hill, but he had an amazing life, and it's easy to celebrate him, you know?
Yeah.
But that thing in China was just awful, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's been a... I mean, that's like one in six runners didn't make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's utterly...
It's enormous.
Utterly brutal.
Terrible
yeah.
thing. And in a way, I don't feel like we can necessarily cheer ourselves up... by throwing to Michelle at this stage in her 10 at 10.
That's asking a lot of her, isn't it?
yeah.
So, over to Michelle! So she's day 8 now?
Yeah.
Go on then.
And she attempted a day in life yesterday, in day 7, but now, day 8, she's realised that, you know, you can't do that much recording out on the course anymore.
Right.
And, well, anyway, let's have a listen to her report from day 8 and then we'll talk about it. Here's Michelle on day 8.
Well, it's late on day 8, and it's been quite the 24, 36 hours, really, since the Run Con Pod episode went out yesterday. Life's been kind of really crazy, and it's fairly crazy to begin with just now, so, yeah. How amazing. I wasn't expecting that at all. It's been put together really nicely, and what a... great memory of this time, this event, and I've had some really beautiful messages from people, which is just really kind, and so thank you to everyone who's been in touch and people who've put donations on my Just Giving page as well. It's just so appreciated. Today's been really tough again, you know, it doesn't get any easier. I've run 8 marathons in 8 days now. I'm so proud of myself. I feel like I never say that I'm any good at anything, but right just now I feel like I'm epic. I've just run 8 marathons in 8 days. It does make you feel like you could just do anything you wanted to if you put your mind to it, and I've kind of seen running give me that before, but not just quite on this scale. And the fact that so many people are saying that they're inspired too, yeah, that feels really good. So, yeah, I kind of got through the physio this morning. The ankle was sore, very swollen. It's getting really swollen now. It's just fluid, really, I think, coming to protect the bit that was injured earlier in the week. And then it's quite normal that people get swollen feet as part of this event, just from the constant pounding on the roads, you know, 5 or 6 hours a day. So there's nothing's broken or damaged. You know, I'm not doing permanent damage. The medical team here are fantastic. Dr. Katie's right on it. She knows exactly what she's talking about. So although it's painful, I'm not doing any permanent damage to myself. I wouldn't be allowed to run if they thought that was happening. So it's just a case of cracking on today, really. I enjoyed some of it. I found some of it really, really hard. I think I managed to run fairly steady. 11-minute miles. Had a fight in my head, proper kind of marathon fight in my head, about mile 18. Got a bit cross and kind of shouted at the wall and said, go away, leave me alone. I've, you know, done 8 marathons, I'm not hitting the wall anymore. I'm used to kind of what that feels like. Had a bit of something else to eat. And, got through it. And at the finish line was a 10 in 10 runner that I ran for yesterday on day 7. So that was pretty special. I've never met him until today. That was a really nice moment. And all my family have arrived now. They're in the area, in the Lake District. My family from the Midlands, haven't seen them since October last year. And even then, that was from 2-3 metres away. So, they're going to be out on the course tomorrow supporting, and on Sunday as well. And possibly even on Sunday, I might get a hug. Not until then, because we're in a Braithwaite bubble until then. But that'll be really exciting, because the last time I hugged my mum was in December 2019. So, yeah, that's not going to be emotional at all. there we go.
And I think you were saying earlier on about how self-deprecating Michelle is. Even Michelle, I think, sort of glimpsed that. She said in that record just then, she's a very self-deprecating person. She was even down on herself.
Yeah.
But on day 8, she felt epic.
Oh, great.
And I think it was the ultimate That's negotiation. Okay. Do you remember last week you were saying about looking to... where's the real halfway point?
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be after 5 of the marathons.
Yeah.
She got to the mile 18 mark on day 8. And, really had a bad time, basically.
That's sort of like...
had a bit of a go at herself and
that's
stuff.
That's really interesting, because that's sort of like... That's like the, that is like the wall of the real of the actual marathon as well, wouldn't it? 10x10's a marathon.
Yep.
That's sort of like the 21-mile point.
Yes.
Of that experience, you know, how fascinating. Yeah.
That acceptance that this is going to happen, and the kind of sloughing away of, I don't know, feeling good about it, I suppose.
So I didn't get a chance to listen to this before it came out. So did she really hit a psychological? Did she fall then?
Yeah, she expressed it as a negative, but she really basically gave herself a big telling off.
Right.
And a lot of this, because she's so strong and transcendy, she tells us stories of having a terrible time out there on the course.
Right.
But with a chuckle, and B, an end of the story where she goes, oh, well, I ignored it and I carried on, you know what I mean?
Right.
And she did feel epic, so she did see that. And I think that was, and I was listening to these, even though I knew the whole story, I was just thinking, I hope that's it. I hope that's as bad as it gets.
Right.
So it kind of was, kind of wasn't. Here we are.
It was the best. That was actually the peak of her mood over the next 2 days.
There's another thing about the way she went, though, was that she was constantly stopping herself going fast. And the funny thing is, that didn't really stop, you know, the more pain she was in.
Right.
The more patched up she was. She never stopped having that urge to just kind of get it over and done with, you know, to run faster, to get it finished.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And I can relate to that.
And a brilliant good-bad instinct, you know.
And all the time as well, she was messing with a quite painful, swollen, /grotesque ankle situation.
Yes, that's
wasn't
right.
Wasn't she? That was...
But the best thing with a bad ankle is to run another 6 marathons on it.
That's what you need to do, yeah.
That's it.
Well, I love that she started just describing it as just another lap. Yes. Just a little lap.
That's right. Well, let's have a listen to... there's just a report from after day 9. Here we go.
Well, it's day 9, and it's 6:15 in the evening. I'm just about to head off down for my lasagna, which I really feel like I've earned today. It's actually my favourite meal, so I've been excited about that all day. It's become increasingly difficult to record things out on the course in the last couple of days. A couple of days before, it was mainly because it was so wet, and it was I was just struggling with pain and things to manage the whole running a marathon, so I couldn't cope with anything else as well. Today, I really wanted to kind of try and capture
some little bits, but there's just so much noise out on the course. I did make a couple of recordings, and they're not going to be usable. Every time I started saying anything, someone was honking their horn, and I was whooping and forgetting that I was on headphones. And, you know, so I've had to kind of revert to just doing a little roundup afterwards instead. But it's been brilliant. I am totally broken biscuits right now, as Gary Dixon would say. But I've managed to get this body around that course for the 9th day in a row. And today I managed to go under 5 hours, just 4:55. It was agony all the way, pretty much. And really had to have a good talking to that central governor many times along the way, using pretty much every trick in the book. Certainly all the ones that Paul and Rob have ever taught me, and a few that I've invented myself in 3,000 miles worth of training for this event. So the training's paid off so far. We've got one more day tomorrow. They call it the Lap of Honour. We'll actually be chasing down the Windermere Marathon. So normally we would go off an hour before the marathon, but because of COVID, the way they've had to set it up, the marathon is going off in waves between 8 and 9:30. And we'll leave behind the last runner of that at 9:30. You know, I'm one of the slowest in our pack. But I might be able to chase down one or two people and see them along the way. So I'm going to go marathon hunting in the morning. So that'll be exciting.
And there you can hear a physically banged up Michelle.
Yes.
And a very happy Michelle who's had a lasagna and a very, very welcome wine.
Yes, yeah.
And then sat and had a chat with Joss Naylor.
Fell running legend.
And she was so amazed by him. She said, a man's a machine.
Right.
And just, I'm sure all the listeners who agree with me, you think, well, Michelle, yeah. So are you.
Like a machine like yourself. Joss famous. Here we go. Look out, mate. Look out, run over.
Coming this way. Okay.
It's a,
actually, if they're coming in here, let's go round and go on the soft bit.
Famous fell runner. Used to live and run on the fells. Very, very natural.
Yeah.
Athlete. Ran very fast, very old. Yeah, for years and years and years. Yeah.
And he was right there supporting the tennis.
Yeah.
But it's part of that. I think that Michelle, you know, is one of that crew. It's like, I can't believe he's here encouraging me. It's like, well, that's what he's doing. You know, he's on the team in that role.
Yeah.
So.
It must be quite a nice feeling that you've got one to do. You must get a bit of, I wonder if you get a bit of that slight exhilaration that you get at 24 miles of the marathon where you know it's sort of eight laps of the track left, you've done this before, you know.
Yeah, and I think this mile 18 on day 8 factor is there. It's not because, you know, it's nuanced because it's not like there wasn't more drama to come.
Yeah.
But I really think deep down it's exactly that she knew. She knew she was going to get to the end.
Yeah, that's
you know, if at all possible. She was, you know,
although she had, there was dropouts on.
Someone dropped
out. There
was out,
a drop on day 7, wasn't there?
And of course, dropouts are kind of physical because they had this very strong, you know, it's that weird extreme event patch-up job where they're like, well, you can run on this.
Yeah.
Even though it's what any normal person would say,
I'm not going to bother.
I'm not going to work today.
Yeah.
But if it ever was a situation where they shouldn't run on it, they'd have pulled them out of the event. So.
And of course, the longer you go on in the event, the more painful it is to drop out.
Yes, of course.
And the more the other runners feel that as well.
Yeah.
You're sharing something all the time.
There's our friend Kevin was saying about getting, I think he dropped out in mile 95 of a 100 miler.
Wow.
And then he was sort of saying, I've never done anything over as far as 100k. It's like, well, you did, but you didn't. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Like you say, the further you go, the more there is to lose, really.
Yeah.
Isn't this nice? Sorry, just to.
It's beautiful. This is like a bit of a wild part of the park,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. So, because Kensington Gardens over by the palace is very formal, but this northern bit, it's real woody parkland, isn't it?
Yeah.
And slightly less people, I think, because we're not in Hyde Park. It's the other side of the road, and we've got a lovely soft path going.
It's really nice, yeah.
Through the edge of the trees.
It's somewhere I very rarely run.
Talking of the Lake District,
yeah.
I just remembered something really wonderful that has happened to me.
Go on then.
Well, my son is, it's quite weird the way they didn't really announce that he'd finished school.
Right, okay.
He basically finished his GCSE exams, which at his school were pretty much like GCSE exams, slightly early.
Right.
And they cut out a couple of topics.
Yeah.
But basically, it was 2 weeks of full-on exams you know, and I think quite a healthy experience because you can focus. You know, another friend of his had like 9 weeks of ongoing assessments. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. This is nice short-term goal sort of thing. Yeah.
But at the end of the week, the school didn't say anything. But apparently, I'm still not 100% on this. But as of Monday, he doesn't have to go to school anymore.
Right.
So he's at home now. You know.
Nice to know. Yes.
In a dressing gown until September.
Right. Yeah.
And anyway. We were working out like good things he can do so that he doesn't get completely moulder and, you know, in a good way. He's allowed, he's earned the holiday, but you do good stuff with your time.
So keep ticking over, sort of.
Yeah. Anyway, I woke up the other day and my wife said, I've had an idea. You and him, that's me and my son, should go to Lake District.
Nice.
For a few days.
Why not? Yeah.
Like during term time when there's availability.
Yes, yeah, and it's nice and a bit cheaper, yeah.
And I said, I'll camp, yeah? And she said, no, go to that hotel we really like. And then...
That's nice.
She said, I'll pay for it.
That's
So I booked us in.
Yeah, that's really
within
nice.
Within about 10 minutes.
That's great.
I mean, it's going to be so good. I think that the first time I'm on a quiet fell side...
Yeah.
It's going to be religious.
Yeah, that sounds really
I keep
nice.
Remembering it and thinking, oh... Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm getting married or something. It's a
really
big
nice.
Deal.
Yeah.
So,
have you gigged yet?
No.
Right.
But I'll tell you something else that's nice about that. I've got a few coming up.
Right. Okay.
You know, Adrian Cole's in Pool.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my first stand-up gig. That's on July 10th.
Right. Okay.
And I've got a sort of me show, a tour show, in Newington Green on September the 11th.
Right, okay.
So, and that's just gone on sale, so I should start plugging that one.
Right, right.
For Londoners. But my very first time on stage is week after next, June 10th. I'm doing a storytelling show.
All right, okay.
And it's all tied in with my book.
Oh, that'd be good.
Which has just gone to print in all good bookshops in August.
Right.
And the publishers are also publishing a book by this storytelling show, which is a bit kind of... Desert Island Discs. People come on and they tell a story about a song which changed their lives.
Right, nice.
And then
nice.
They play the song.
Nice idea.
Yeah, and it's also very similar, just coincidentally, to the shape of my book, which is about... Which is about, you know, songs and runs.
Yeah.
And moments in time.
Yeah.
Anyway, the key thing about this is my first gig back, I'm not expected to be funny.
Yeah, that'll be nice, but...
It's going to be special.
But it'll also be
hard
to resist the urge to be funny.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And that thing of like being comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think it's a good. It's exactly.
It'll be
that.
It'll be really interesting. Yeah.
It'll make me try and pull me away from that, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
Just taking a photo of these fountains at Lancaster Gate. So, but I cannot wait.
Yeah, that.
And I will be doing some running up there too.
I did. I had a couple of gigs at the weekend. I did one. At Chiswick Headliners.
Oh, yeah,
which
lovely.
Which was just loads of comics doing 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I did 10 minutes of new stuff.
Great.
Sort of COVID-y stuff, but nothing too heavy, just sort of observation stuff.
Yeah.
And then and it was fine. But you
did you get invited into the Witch's Cottage? That's where you went for those sweets, wasn't it?
Lovely. Lovely. I wonder if she's going to pop her head out the window.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, come on in, I've got Turkish delight.
But I was following
my children's stories now.
I was following sort of, you know, comics doing their absolute best 10 minutes.
Right.
Sort of old gear, polished off and back again.
Just
so it was quite hard, but it was good fun though.
Yeah.
And then the following night I did like...
But I do think that your clown has a good instinct knowing that sometimes... Going completely off script can be the strongest thing to do.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily weak.
No.
To
it
go,
was good.
This is this.
It was good. It's that sort of interesting thing of how you want to come back. I mean, as a comic, it's like the things you want to change. But it was still interesting and important for me to see guys doing their old stuff.
Yeah.
And getting really big laughs.
Yeah.
And that's very powerful.
Yeah. Were you
for them and for the crowd and for everyone. Not really, because I'm not in that space, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like...
No, it's easy for me to say because I haven't done it at all, but I'm very much in a place where I want to take the time to be me and let people come to me. But that's, you know, that's all going to change once I get behind a mic, like
you say.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and then the second night I did a gig in Sunbury, which was just a really nice small room gig on a Sunday that I wouldn't normally do in normal times because I don't like working on a Sunday, you know.
Yeah.
No wedge, etc.
Yeah.
But the experience was great, and I did my 10 minutes at the top, new stuff, then I did my set, and it was really, really enjoyable to get really big laughs in a small room.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion that there's going to be a very short window for COVID material anyway.
Oh, yeah, no,
I just think people aren't going to be...
No.
They're not bothered. They're fine.
And a good joke about it right now would be great.
Yeah, they initially want to laugh to break the tension about this, all this stuff we've been through.
Yes.
But they don't want to sit in it too long.
They don't want to go back.
No, they want to go on. And that was really important.
Yeah.
To realise, and there's loads of new stuff happening around my old stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And it was just really good, and I had that thing of when you do a good gig... And you feel really connected to everything.
That's right.
And you can't sleep till after in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that, hiya. Just really enjoyable, you know.
Well, that's the interesting thing you're saying about not being able to sleep, is apparently Michelle really made her peace with that.
Right.
Because the physios were saying on her day in the life of a 10 and 10er,
yeah.
You know, she basically woke up at 1:30.
Right.
Well, they were just saying that it's your...
My kids on Christmas Eve.
One's body heals, you know?
Yeah.
Sleeping is normally resting. So you use your food to slow down your system.
Right.
You digest, you replenish, I suppose, I don't know, brain cells.
Yeah.
Resting muscle tissue. But when you've got damage, your body goes, no, forget sleep. We're going to pump blood around. We're going to do building tissue.
That's really
because when the body's working hard, it's in the same mode as when the person who lives in it is working hard.
Wow.
So apparently it's the 10 in 10 experience.
How fascinating.
So almost as soon as she was done, I don't know if this comes up in this last record, but she like... Once she finished, she was like, I went to bed, I slept 6 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah, she got it right at the end. Yes.
But, well, let's hear from the very last slice.
The final stretch.
Incredible thing. Day 10 and indeed day 11.
Yeah.
Lucky, I don't think was. Oh, before we go to this, I didn't realise, but they were calling the final, the 10th day, the lap of honour.
Right, okay.
And of course, it's a different energy because the Windermere Marathon is there as well. So it's a really good kind of change up.
Right, nice.
It's like exchanging presents every day for 9 days and then waking up on the 10th day and it's Christmas, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a really good gear change for everyone. But if people were saying, good luck on your lap of honour. And that was winding me up because I'm like, well, it's not a lap of honour, is it? And I mean, that's being pedantic. I don't mind me, obviously, don't bother being pedantic, but it just seems such a missed opportunity for a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To get
to
the end of the 10th one. So you're going to go around again,
yeah,
celebrate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, they did call it a lap of honour. And here is Michelle on that day.
Well, it's day 10, and I'm feeling remarkably good, really. I guess we're back to being fueled by adrenaline. I've just been a little walk down the drive, familiarise myself with how it all looks now, because it's all, everything's kind of changed here overnight. There's all the race and infrastructure's gone up, ready for the Windermere Marathon. And yeah, it's exciting. So just off for some physio. And then let's go and do this. And so one final recording. I'm actually recording this on day 11, the day after it all ended. And as I speak, I am lying on the floor in my bedroom with my legs up the wall, trying to reduce the swelling in my left ankle. Day 10 was amazing. It was amazing. I ran the Windermere Marathon. I ran it faster than I have ever run it at all before. I got a time of 4 hours and 42 minutes. I actually think at one point I was on for about 4:30, but I had at mile 18 a slight catastrophe in that something went pop in my left leg, on the front of my left leg, and I stopped running. I couldn't run for a moment. I felt sick, and I had a decision to make. 8 miles from the finish of this epic adventure, the choice was stop and ask for help, at which point I knew I definitely could not do another 8 miles on foot in any way, shape or form. Or take a deep breath and just run 8 miles as fast as I could and get it over. So yeah, you probably guessed it. I took a deep breath, had a word and ran 8 miles as fast as I could.
I think probably some people in Ambleside think that a lady might have had a baby. I'm really sorry if you were running the Windermere Marathon and I went huffing and puffing past you. It really was very sore indeed. Got myself round to the finish line, and as I came round the corner, there, Crook Morris, my team of Morris dancers, spread out socially distanced on the lawn, dancing a jig that we do, a Ducklington, the Nutting Girl, and it was just amazing crossing the finish line. I stood on the finish line, I said, "Day 10, baby!" We've been doing that the last few days. My 14-year-old, we've been just winding her up because she told me off for writing it in a blog quite near the beginning of the week. So I've kind of been putting it out there since, because I'm a terrible mother. And she was there and smiling. And I got my medals given to me by my mum and my sister and my nieces and my son, a daughter, and my husband. And we all had a cuddle. It was really, really nice. And then I said to the race director, "Look, is it all right if I just go and have a quick jig with the Morris crew?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, go for it." So I went over onto the field, grabbed somebody's hankies, and off we went, did the first bit of a Ducklington jig together. Oh, I don't think I've ever done the capers so high. And that was amazing. I mean, my foot was already broken by then, so I knew I wasn't going to be able to dance for a while with them. So I thought, it's kind of now or never, and I haven't done it for a year. So it was absolutely joyful. The whole thing was just exactly right for me. It was a perfect ending. And I knew as I walked back to the physio room that was pretty much the end of it. And within half an hour, my husband was taking me to Barrow, to the A&E department to get some x-rays and get it looked at. It's a little bit inconclusive at the moment. It's very, very swollen indeed. They've given me a boot and some crutches, and I'm a lot happier. There weren't any fractures on the x-ray that they could see. I'm going back on Thursday, but it's probably just some kind of soft tissue, or just, 262 miles in 10 days, and it's not been happy all week. It probably was just the final straw. So, got back in time about 8 o'clock to have a curry with the rest of the team that had stayed behind, and had a curry and heard some of the speeches, got my slate presented to me by Joss Naylor, had a bit of banter with him. He said, "I've got to come back and do it properly, i.e. finish it not injured." I said, "I feel I have done it properly, because I said if I could walk today, then I hadn't tried hard enough." So we had a bit of a giggle. I promised I'll do the Windermere Marathon next year and try and go a bit faster. So that's a deal. And then, we went and had a couple of beers and wine in the bar. Getting back to my room wasn't as painful as it has been. And I made it in one piece, despite the crutches and the wine and the leg. So, that's it. All done. Massive adventure. Excited to go home and spend some time with my family and just get back to normal with a little bit of celebrity status on the side. So I hope you've enjoyed the journey with me, and thanks for listening, and thanks to Paul and Rob for this. It's totally been epic and wonderful.
So she did it. She felt great. She got to mile 18. Oh, that's right, and she was going fast.
Right.
It's her fastest. Running that course. 4:42, for goodness sake.
Great.
And mile 18 again. She got to mile 18, going well. And something in the front of her leg, to use her words which make me shudder, went pop.
Right.
And she had this moment where she's either going to,
walk in,
vomit, sit down, call an ambulance, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Or she, and again, I'm quoting her here, "Get run to the end as fast as I can."
Right.
And she opted, she decided.
Wow.
On the latter.
Yeah.
She's like, "No, I'm going to do it." So on whatever, Ron Hill style, we still don't know exactly what's going on.
Pure adrenaline determination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she did it. Endorphins. She got to the finish line. She got to the finish line with a big smile on her face. Morris dancing.
And then
crew.
Morris dancing. Yeah.
Morris dancing. And, because Michelle Vicar, teacher, runner, Morris dancer, and she joined in. She gave her family a big tearful hug, and then the Morris dancers were there, and she literally thought, "Well, I'm going to be badly injured, so I won't be Morris dancing anytime soon, So let's do this now.
Finally, I mean, we understand the mentality of the Morris dancer.
The things you do before you go to hospital. Chris, just quickly, this Morris dancing. Incredible scenes. Congratulations, Michelle, and thanks.
That's amazing.
So much for sharing it with
what
us.
What an experience, and she's pictures from A&E. And to, just to be put it right, we don't know. It didn't look like anything was broken.
Yeah.
She thought something was broken.
We know a bit more about this because of Ella's fracture, because there's no evidence of bones broken.
Right.
But it might be a stress fracture. So they're going for more x-rays.
Yeah.
But she's in a boot. She's on crutches. The swelling went down. She immediately felt better. It's worrying to hear about it, but she doesn't seem worried about it at all.
She's preparing for her next Morris investigating dancing.
Investigating to find out what happens next.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll keep in touch online and we'll find out. But in terms of actual reports, we can stand Michelle down now.
Thank you so much. And what a great... It's been great to hear from us throughout this. And also, it's... Every now and again, it's something that could possibly return. I'm thinking on my feet here, but people on adventures. It's nice to open it up, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
It's nice to open it up a little bit, you know.
We've worked out exactly. Well, it's like we were saying about running, isn't it? We've talked a lot about getting back to having guests, but that could work in different ways now.
Yes, yeah.
It's 2021, Paul. Anything
it's forced us to think a little bit differently about it. And Michelle came in with the idea. Of course, initially, we were going to go up.
Yeah.
That wasn't working.
But I think there'll be some, pressure on us now to go and do at least the window. I don't think I could do the 10 in 10. I mean, I really think it's a lovely idea, and you hear these things, and respect to the people we're talking
Absolute
about.
Absolute respect for
people
that
do
adventure.
This amazing stuff, but it's a decision. She's talking about overriding the central governor. But when the central governor is saying things like, your leg's broken, that's a kind of life choice, isn't
Stop
it?
Stop Morris dancing. Your leg's broken. Go to hospital now.
My central governor has never said to me, stop Morris dancing, you've broken your leg. But yeah, we were thinking, if we can, we'll definitely be at that Windermere Marathon next year.
Yeah.
And I think Michelle, if she can, will be too.
Because
Joss Naylor said, come back next year and do it properly.
Yeah.
See, I personally, she was like, oh, he means without injury. I'm like, that kind of bullish.
But that's the end of like 2 year journey for her, isn't
it?
I mean, she's been training for a long time, then got injured and started again, and events cancelled, and there's all kinds of drama.
Well, this is
that.
The best thing about her strength is I now know that she's going to be strong enough to live through this bit, which is the bit after.
Yes.
Woods, which is going to be tough for everyone.
No, I tell you what.
What a come down.
Yeah, I was going to chat about that last week. I didn't really want to bring it up because we're in the middle of it now, but it's like. A lot of people get it a little bit. I think you get it a little bit after marathons.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a bit more than me sometimes.
I think it is because it's so, you know, for me, we use this word a lot, and also we use it negatively about other people. So I will use it to make it fair.
Yeah.
For me, like doing the London Marathon in particular, because it's in the media in that way.
Mm.
Although, having said that, we've done TV stuff up at Yorkshire as well. It's very performative. And not in a selfish way, not in an egotistical way. It really ties in with the fundraising and stuff.
Yes,
But the funny thing about it is that you build up to it for 4 months or whatever.
Yes.
And then suddenly, a week before, the world knows it's happening.
Yes,
and then you go out, and then just for a minute there, the whole world knows it's happening, and you're at the centre of that world.
And then you do it, and finish, and you go to the dinner afterwards, and there's loads of people.
And it's a bit like your joke about doing jokes about COVID. You get to the following Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you mention it online, and you're definitely still feeling it when you go up the stairs, and you realise that the world's forgotten again.
Yeah.
That is tough.
It's like the Edinburgh Festival, yeah.
Yeah, oh,
when you come home and everyone's, it's over. What are you on about?
Yeah. A couple of my old job, you know, the theatre and education two-person workshops.
Yeah.
Is, I think that's the, is that the top of the, no, it's not. I thought it was the furthest point and we could see it in the distance, but it isn't, so ignore that. In my old job, two guys did a great show, sort of semi-improvised show with teenagers, and they did a really, really good one. And then they ran over to sort of wave everyone out of the door. It's just in a school, you know, big classroom. And my friends Roland and Duncan ran to the door, and they got to the door and said, we are absolute rock stars to these guys now.
Yeah.
That we are legends. They love us. And they went out, they shook their hands, they went out the door. And then the last few came, got their bags, and the teachers went. And by the time the last people left, they said, and now we aren't. They don't. It's over.
Yeah, totally.
Stuff does not last. And that's fine,
It's just sinking back in. You create
you create drama, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, and all, I mean, 10 marathons in 10 days, it's just, this is an experience that only Michelle can really understand.
Yes,
because
that's
she's,
right.
Because she's the only, a little bit like... You try and explain it. You try and describe it, but it's... You can't share it.
Although, yeah, having said that, she's done her best. I think
she's
her,
done brilliantly.
Her
she's done
audio diary is up there with our marathon record in terms of some insight into what the hell that would be like.
Yes. Yeah.
So well done, Michelle.
Well done.
Good luck with the X-ray tomorrow. With Paul
Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.